Let's begin today by reading from the book of Genesis chapter 17. I'll read from verse 1. It said, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations.'" Please, my emphasis is in verse 5. He said, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham." Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of a multitude of nations. He said, "The reason is because, for I will make you the father of a multitude of nations." He said, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you." Now, let me stop there. Again, my emphasis is in the change of the name of Abram from Abram to Abraham. All right. The reason is because God said, "You will be called Abraham because I will make you the father of a multitude of nations." Now, let's quickly read from Luke chapter 1. That's the next one I want us to read before I begin to say the things I want to say. The book of Luke. Now, where I want us to read is long, so I will not read everything. I'll just give us a brief summary of the story of Elizabeth and her husband, Zachariah, as a priest of God. All right? He said there was a priest, in verse 5, named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. He said they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. Now, we know the story that Elizabeth was barren, and then one day, Zacharias went in to do his duty. And in verse 11, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." He said, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." He now said, "He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God." Now, let me jump to the next verse to save our time. Zacharias now said to the angel in verse 18, "How will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Now, and the angel now said, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." He said, "And behold," again, this is my emphasis here, verse 20, "you will be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." Now, I have heard people say it before that once the time is correct, whether you believe the word of God or not, it will be fulfilled. And I think that is not putting everything into, you know, perspective, not looking at it as a whole. It's not like that, all right? It's just that in this situation, somebody else's faith was dragging the thing. And that's what I want to emphasize to us today. And the words of her husband, Zachariah, that is Elizabeth's faith was very strong, was dragging the things down. I believe that both he and his wife had prayed about the matter, because the angel said that God has heard what you have. Yeah, you get my point. Now, but then I said before that when God wants to do something, you have to pull it down to the earth by faith. And what I want to talk about today is that change of name and the power of the words that people use. So here it was all, it's obvious that, you know, it was important to the angel that this guy should not talk. Because if he talked, he will use his mouth to wreck what he's about to do. Are you getting my point? And the faith of his wife was strong enough to do this. But this guy was going to walk against her by his words. And I can prove something to you very easily. You will see, if you read further down, people were wondering what he was taking. Now, if the discussion was all that was recorded in the book of Luke, nobody would have wondered why it was taking so long. Because if we're doing a drama, we can recite this scene in about 45 seconds and we are done with it. Are you getting my point? So you know, because of the amount of time it took, that this is a summary of what went on. But during that discussion, it must have come out all right, from the mouth of Zacharias that his heart was not exactly ready for what was about to happen. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he was speaking things that were inside his heart, the heart that was not yet persuaded in faith. Are you getting my point? But the faith of Elizabeth, in my understanding of the scriptures, was strong and was going to bring that thing down. So they must have had some discussion for a while, he and the angel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, people were wondering, what is this guy doing for so long? The angel didn't just dash in, talk with him for a few seconds, and run away. They were there. The guy would talk. Zachariah would say, are you sure? Okay, prove. At that point in time, the guy just said, listen, you are going to spoil this whole thing. So you know how we're going to solve it? The time is ripe because due season, I've explained in some of my previous teachings, is not a matter of calendar time, all right? It's when events are fulfilled. Do you get my point? And even for Jesus to be born, there were people praying. We know specifically of two of them, Anna and Simon. They were there praying for years. And I believe that part of the things they prayed about, or let me put it like this, the part of the effect of their prayers would have been sustaining the life of people like Mary, would have been sustaining the life of many people, bringing things to, keeping things in order until the birth of Jesus Christ will be accomplished. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That God uses people. God doesn't just do things anyhow. And amongst the people he used then was Elizabeth, who was going to give birth to John. But her husband was not fully cooperating. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting my point? And because of what he was saying with his mouth, the angel said, look, it is important that this guy ceases from speaking. Otherwise, he will wreck what we're about to do. Why didn't he go to Elizabeth? Because she had a husband. She was under authority. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, I'm trying to bring out some issues here. You know, let me, I just wanted to explain that. Let me take a few steps backward and then connect from where we were. You know, let me start from last week. Then I'll come down to that Genesis chapter 17. But I hope you have gotten the point I wanted to make from Luke chapter 1, verse 20. That's why I brought it up. That Zacharias' mouth was shut so that he wouldn't spoil what's about to be done. Do you understand? Because you see, the launching pad for faith, using, I think, the words of Derek Prince now, is, Derek Prince was talking about the weapons of our warfare. He said that you launch it with the mouth, with the tongue. Do you follow my point? That is, the faith in your heart is released through your mouth. And we've been talking about the laws of faith, or the law of faith, and we've been seeing many principles therein. Now, there was something I said last week, which I want to start from again. This is so important. I have found out while thinking about the meditating and preparing for many talks I had to give in this regard, that faith, of course, we have established this, without faith, the things that God wants to do on this earth cannot be done. Do you get my point? It can't be done. It cannot be done. That's the fact. But then that faith, I realize that God is not looking for people of great faith, all right, to start with. He looks for people who can be trained in faith. And the Bible says that faith works by love. You know, last week I didn't even quote that. Well, later on I realized that that's what the Bible was saying. Because I brought out something here, that the foundation, he said that these three things abide, faith, hope, and love. And he said the greatest is what? Love. And I define love in two regards. That love towards God is known by obedience. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. All right? And then he said that, I said many things about love, but let me just limit myself to this. So the love of a man for God is shown by the amount of obedience he shows to the word of God. But it's when you want to love a human being like you, that you give to him, that you are nice to the person. We all can understand what love towards mankind means, all right? Trying to impart a blessing to somebody. That's how you love a human being like you. Now, what I explained there, which I just want to, I feel like emphasizing again, is that actually the people that, no, let me say it, start again like this. I said that love and faith is needed, but God takes it upon himself to train people in faith. Are you getting my point? And the thing he starts from before he begins to work on you and bring you to the position of great faith is the love attitude in your heart. Are you getting the point I'm making? That great faith is built two ways. Let me just explain that. Great faith is built, number one, by words, and number two, by experiences. There's no other way, all right? You don't build faith by prayer. You don't build faith by any other thing. You build faith, one, when words are given to you, and two, when those words are imprinted upon your heart by experiences. That's just the way it works. It's a product of these things that come out in your life, all right, as great faith. Are you getting the point I'm making? So what God does is that if you want to do something great in life, he picks a man, he picks a woman who he sees the attribute of love in his heart or her heart. Remember I talked about the widow of Zarephath, that woman, don't think, look, because let's go over it again. It is a very ridiculous thing. Now, get my point. A guy just walks up to your door, say, give me your last meal, and the food will never finish. Do you follow my point? If you believe it, you are gullible. No, I'm serious. Don't just sound spiritual. No, an absolute stranger. I've seen one, a friend of mine was going once when we were in school, with sister. And the brother stopped her on the way. It was, you know, those meditatious people, you know what they say? He just stopped her. Said, the Lord said that she's going to give him some money. And I told her later, did the Lord tell you to give him money? He said, no. The guy just said, and there you are running up and down trying to obey the Lord. I said, well, come on, forget it. Listen, Christianity doesn't mean a woman should be gullible. Are you getting my point? So there must have been a reason why that woman saw Elijah, all right, and responded to him like that. There must have been. You know, maybe it doesn't mean she was a stupid person, all right? Faith doesn't mean you just go around being stupid. Everybody walks up to your door. Let me just say this, by the way, to help you, all right, to help you. You see, I need to say this. I don't like saying things like this, but I will say it. The other time I'm sitting down, a man just comes over, I'm watching TBN. And he starts, is that telling you that, look, God just showed them one secret of breakthrough. 7 is the number of perfection, 7 and 7 is double perfection. So if you sow $77, your life will never be imperfect. I'm just looking at you like this. He said, challenge God, move at this word. My brother, I'm not shifting my leg. Let the ignoramuses follow you. Me, I won't move. They come with another calculation. 2 is the number of agreement. And 5 is number of grace. If you want to agree that grace will come into your life, bring $25. I am not giving you a dime. No, I'm serious. All these spiritual gymnastics, I'm not impressed. And I just look at it. There's somebody, the guy who seemed impressive most on TBN was Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe came to raise money for TBN. He said that they gave great money, listen, to the soldiers to say that the disciples came to steal his body at night. That is, to propagate a lie, it was costing money. That to propagate the truth, it will cost more money. Do you get my point? So he said that, listen, if you believe that this network is propagating the truth, then you have to start joining in propagating the truth by giving money. Look, Christians are nice people. They are, no, do you get my point? If they see a just cause and you explain to them, they will give towards it. He said, tonight, this, my message is for your blessing. Listen, we know that giving blesses us, but your message is not for my blessing. It's because you want to raise money. No, I know why I'm saying these things I'm saying. Because don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, like my pastor would say, word from knowledge. A man saw a pastor's car. He said, is this your car? Wow, I don't believe it. This kind of rubbish car you're driving? Okay, no problem. And then I said, God spoke to him that if they want to be blessed, they should buy a new car for the pastor. Said, look at this. So me, I'm so difficult to persuade now. No, I'm sorry. He said that this is the key to your breakthrough. I said, before God called to ministry, I broke through. You may not have seen it yet, but you will soon see it. Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. Look, okay, maybe this is not part of our message. Let me just explain it. Because the angle I want to come from is that people respond a lot of times out of fear. Some people respond out of greed. Let me use the word greed. No, some respond out of greed. All right? They said, you want a new car, give your old car. All right? Fine. Some do that. Some respond out of they don't know better. They really just want to. They say, okay, he's a prophet, so let's obey him. All right? Mercy on them. Then there are this group of people who I feel very bad for, who respond out of fear. But because the man tells you that there was somebody who I preached to, didn't believe me, and then that's it. For the next 20 years, he never made money in his life. Ah, hey, God. No, what I'm telling you, I've had people come up to me and say, excuse me, sir, I have a problem here. I want to give towards this particular thing. But this man said, if we don't do this and do this and this and that, we are, in fact, somebody said that we are like Ananias and Sapphira. Therefore, I'm afraid. I now said that, are you going up there to lie that you want to give something that you are not planning to give? She said, no. I said, then do as your heart pleases. You have just refused to do what he's saying. You have not told him I'm doing what he... No, I'm serious. I'm telling you, these are the kind of things. And I'm saying this so that Christians should understand that. Let nobody... No, there's a Bible called being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's not necessary. Do you follow my point? It is not necessary. If a man gets up and says that, look, this, when you do this, you will break through, and your heart is not persuaded, and especially you didn't come that day looking for that particular breakthrough, don't be tossed to and fro. And I've told students, you have no business. Oh God, why am I talking like this today? Am I answering a few people's questions in their hearts? Where's this young man? He's not around. One day, a young man came to me. He has a few problems, you know, money, academics, and all of that. So I asked him, I said, I'm sure when you were doing this particular crusade, you used your school fees to pay for the crusade. He said, yes, sir. I said, you're a rogue. He said, what? I said, you're a thief. If you're a civil servant, by now, no ribadu will be on your case. And it's true. It's called misappropriation. Do you work? He said, no. Who gave you that money? My father. He gave you to go and do what? To go and pay fees. And you want to use to pay for crusade. You are an idiot. Coming from me, the guy couldn't argue. He knows how much I want crusades paid for. He knows how much I probably pay for crusades myself. I said, but the money I used to pay for crusades, that is maybe anything that the progression of the word, is my money. I work for it. I don't beg anybody for it. I take decisions on it. Are you getting my point? I said, your father sent you on an errand and you misappropriated his funds. You should be in jail. The guy was humble. I said, that's why God didn't support you. You see, now you're in trouble. Is that not why you came to see me? Now you are in debt. The people you are owing are chasing you up and down. Your father has driven you away. He has refused to give you extra money. And this is what I can do for you. I can pray with you that you will go back home and you will repent like a prodigal son and swear that you'll never do it again. It's true. You can't give... No, oh God. Please, this is not my message for today, but let me explain some things. He said, you will challenge God. I have told you nobody on earth challenges God. The only thing they do is to obey God. Are you hearing my point? If you want to challenge somebody, look for Michael Tyson. As for God, what do? You obey him. Are you following my point? Anyway, we'll get back to the issue of money. I promise that we're going to get back there later. I'm just trying to bring out some things while I'm saying all of these things. Because people sit around the issue of the widow of Zarephath. Let me tell you the issue in the life of that woman. She was a kind woman. She was a woman who met the needs of people when she had the ability. Are you getting my point? And then when she entered into distress, she prayed to God. And based upon her heart attitude to other people, God sent a prophet to her house. And two things may have happened. I'm sure one of two. One, either the prophet just walked in and she responded to him just like another hungry fellow. Do you get my point? Or indeed, God told her in a dream and in a vision that a prophet was going to come. Are you getting my point? And that prophet will help her. And for that reason, she responded to Elijah like that. There's no third option, from my own understanding. Do you follow my point? Let me say this again. You cannot harass God into blessing you. Those who do it never get far in life. They never do. You know, hear what I'm saying. Those who harass God to get things out of him, the things never bless them. It never does. Do you get what I'm saying? Harassment, remember harassment. That is, lest you weary me by your much coming. Because when God has, God is not unwilling to give. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? It is not you keep on doing this until God gets angry and tired and then blesses. That's not God's order. Let me tell you God's order. You must have, because that's one of the things I'm trying to explain today. This is how it works. Listen. Faith is built up, I said, first on a foundation of love. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I've explained what love is. All right? What God now does, that is how faith is built up. It's a constant walk with God. Do you get my point? It's a constant what? Walk with God. That is what God does. That is what he does. While you are walking with him, he personally builds up your faith from two things. Number one, he supplies you information by his word. And number two, he allows experiences to teach you the thing he's saying. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is how God builds faith in your heart. You don't come on an emergency breakthrough arrangement with God. Are you following my point? You know, I need this thing now. So what do I do to get it? Let me tell you, the only thing you need to do to get things out of God, who can tell me? Ask. That's all. He said, ask in faith, not wavering. One thing that I found out personally that makes it difficult for me to get things out of the hand of God is when I'm not even sure of what exactly I want. or whether I want it. Do you get my point? Today now you wake up in the morning. You say, ah! In short, by next year, I must be married. Amen, amen. Then you go for a program. They said, a wife or a husband prevents you from doing the work of God. Then you go back home. It shows I won't marry, so. Double-mindedness. Then you go to another person in prayer and say, oh my God, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You see, what one chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. You pray the right, I receive the wife, I receive the husband. As you are going away, Paul said, don't be entangled. You have to do a flow like this. At the end, because, oh boy, when you have made up your mind, you will come back and see me. Now, I'm not going to discuss that one today. But that is a serious reason why people don't get things from God. It's not because they don't give a breakthrough offering. Listen to me, I don't believe in breakthrough offerings. And let me tell you categorically, they don't work. Are you getting my point? Generally, as a matter of doctrine, they don't. There are a few times what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations. And we don't build life on diversities of manifestation. You build life on doctrine. Do you get my point? So what you do is that take money as an issue. You must learn before God how to handle money, how to be, you know, I preach that all the time. If you have not read it, go and get the track, download it if you have to. Cheerful giver. That is what God wants every Christian to be. You don't give when you need, you give all the time, whether you need or you don't need. Are you getting what I'm saying? And when you need, you don't tie what you're about to receive to what you have given. Do you get my point? Blessed is are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you have been a constantly merciful person in your life to other people's needs, then God says you will obtain mercy. Are you getting my point? That means that even there are times you don't even pray for something. Do you get what I'm saying? Before you even sit down and make up your mind to pray about it, God has the mercy that you have sown, all right, responds to you also. If you give a spare tire so that you can get a tokumboka, it's a selfish giving. It profits nothing. Are you getting my point? But if you are one that gives bicycle to those who need when you have the ability, are you getting my point? Say, pay for a bus fare for somebody when you have the ability. Then when you need a car, all right, then God will cause somebody that has ability or cause events around to arrange it for you. You can't at that point. Are you getting my point? I'm emphasizing this so that you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. What builds faith? Let me explain it to you again. It's a constant walk with God. You don't give when you need. You give when? All the time. You are instant in season and what? Out of season. That's the way it works. Are you following the point I'm making? I don't know why I'm sitting on that one today. But what I want to sit on, which I'm supposed to sit on, is the issue of how God trains you in faith. Is that foundation of the heart that wants to walk with God, that God starts with. Then he personally begins to give you words. Because that's the most important source of faith. As words come, are you getting my point? God starts giving you information. Because in life, I've said this again and again, and I can't say it enough. Everything around you speaks. The problems in life, they are uttering their own words. The only avenue that God has to utter his own is from the preaching of his word. Are you getting my point? And of course, when people testify of what God has done in their lives, that's how you get to know God's side of the story. Every day if it's not calamity, it's not worthy of news. Are you getting my point? Yesterday, was it this morning? Yesterday, CNN. No, this morning, early this morning. CNN wanted to report on the election in Nigeria. I remember the first line. Attempted truck bombing of INEC headquarters fails. In the run-up to Nigerian presidential election, I said, look at this. Look at this fellow. The opening line is the fact that somebody tried to set INEC headquarters on fire in Abuja. I said, this guy is real calamity news network, CNN. The young boy who killed 32 people and then himself making 33. We have not heard enough of it. They are analyzing his life. Of course, that's typical. Anyway, let's forget CNN. The point is that if it's not calamity, it's really not worthy of news. Therefore, most of the things you get are designed to wear down your faith. That's the point I'm making. But the word of God is what builds up your faith. And God doesn't build up your faith in one day. It's a constant walk with God that he uses to build up your faith. Are you getting my point? It trains you today. I mean, there are many things. It's not everything you hear that you have actually learned. All right? It's not everything you hear you have become persuaded of. You know, yesterday evening, I took my wife out somewhere. Well, I think she should be the best hotel in Enugu. All right, we're going to eat dinner. So when we're coming, she said that 7-star hotel that we're talking about one day in Dubai. I said, one day, it would be nice to own something. I used to dream about it, of owning a 7-star hotel. And as you were saying, I was opening the car door, about to leave. I said, listen, meanwhile, I heard about 7-star hotel. I said, but I don't have the ability to believe in the necessity for that such unnecessary arrangement. Now, it doesn't mean it's evil. Like I told her, I said, maybe you can conceive it. I said, but this guy, that is, even if God said, should I give you a 7-star hotel, I will tell you it's not necessary, sir. Now, I'm bringing up something. Now, I said that yesterday evening, and today also. No, the day in church, Pastor was describing it, that people were like, I was one of the most bored fellows. Like, so you tried to make the four sets of gold. Rubbish. May as well gold plate it. Me, I'm not impressed. Now, get my point, though. I'm not saying it's bad. Please, I'm saying it again. I'm not saying it's bad. You see, this hotel is shaped like, if you shape it like diamond, or shape it like rock. You now say somebody should sleep for $25,000 a night. He shouldn't sleep. Why should he sleep? He shouldn't sleep. I don't care if his name is Bill Gates. Now, that is my mentality as of today. Therefore, God will even bother right now. Even if, I know, you know, he has the ability. If a human being can do it, God can do it 10 times over. All right? Now, God will even bother giving Banky a 7-star hotel. Or even arranging for me to sleep in one because he knows I won't sleep. So, $5,000 for a night. They told you that they gave birth to me to be sleeping like that. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you give me the $5,000? I have other things to do. Now you say, okay, what if God wants you to sleep in a $5,000 a night hotel? That's actually where I'm going to. He doesn't just throw me there suddenly because he knows I won't sleep. You know what he does? First, he exposes you to a $500 a night hotel. And you will like, what? God, what kind of thing is this? Well, I bless the Lord. I'm not the one paying for it. I give you thanks. Then you go and say, brethren, this last trip, the hotel I stayed in, God is good. It was $500 a night. You say, amen. You have bought it. Do you get my point? That is stage one. Then you will actually enjoy it and you will sleep in peace. You know, that sleep was good, was glorious. There was an angel to the left and an angel to the right. I don't know how much they were paying the angels, but they were there. The next time, they up it a bit. By the time, then one day, that when you're on the $3,000 a night, when they bring up the $5,000, it won't sound so bad. That is, now you have the ability to conceive it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Are you getting the point I'm making? That's the way it works. That is just the way it works. It's not just, so why I said that is that it's not everything you hear actually that you have actually been able to conceive. It's not everything you hear that you are actually able to perceive. You may think that, you know, that's a lot of people who talk. They are just talking. Do you get what I'm trying to say? They are just talking. They have not been able to conceive or really receive the things they have heard. All kinds of information are going. And God knows, look, the day Jesus told Peter, that you see, the Son of Man will be beaten. Peter said, what? He shall be killed, delivered to the Gentiles. I just drank and I said, we have to talk, John and go stay for that side. Okay, if not joke, me just stop him. No, you don't get the point. By that time, they had attempted his life like 11 times. And he, passing through the midst of them, had always gone his way. Are you getting my point? In the history of his childhood, Herod tried to kill him, killed multitudes of children, 2 years and below. What happened? Nothing. Then suddenly, you know, he said, listen, I'm sure, you know, John the Baptist did not drink. When you started drinking, we knew something would go wrong one day. Why are you talking like this? What am I going to say? Peter was not able to, Jesus now said that, look, there are many things I want to explain to you people, but you can't receive them now. You again, the point I'm making. He said, look, you can't receive them now. I'm trying to bring out some many things that God wants to tell people. That's the way it is. You just can't get it now. But that just by the way, by experience, when they actually saw Jesus taken away from them, when he now saw them on the way to Emmaus and began to explain again, then it began to make sense. He was now using he will have shown them those things ahead of time that they might be fulfilled. What is written in Isaiah chapter 53? You will notice it. No, but then the guys were not ready for it. Are you getting my point? What am I going to explain today? Great faith, Abraham decided to sacrifice Isaac. It was after more than 40 years of working with God. From the day they called him to the day Isaac was born, 25 years passed. By the time he went to sacrifice Isaac, the guy was a teenager at least. Are you getting my point? Add that together. You're talking about 40 years of constant communion. 40 years of missing it and God teaching him the proper things. 40 years of lying that his wife is actually his sister. Are you getting my point? 40 years of at the danger to his life, rescuing Lot. 40 years of praying and seeing how God judges people. Are you getting what I'm going to say? 40 years of this. Then finally, when Isaac was born and Isaac grew up. You know, you have to understand that this is 40 years in which Ishmael grew up in his house and he loved Ishmael as a son. Yet one day God commanded that he should send Ishmael away. Are you getting my point? Before he killed Isaac, he had killed Ishmael. You are not getting what I'm trying to say. That's just the way it is. What builds great faith is what? A constant walk with God. And that's what I want people to understand. Is a constant walk with God. I said something to you in the last few weeks that you see, a lot of times that, you know, this is, I don't argue with people when they can't see my point. You are getting my point? That is, you are trying to get somebody to see a situation. One day I went for a course. That was sometime last year. There was one lady that came from Texas. It was part of the resource persons. So while we're chatting, I got to know that she was a Christian. She knew I was a Christian. We chatted a bit. And when I finished talking, she said, you know what? I said what? She said, you are the first Nigerian I'm hearing talking like this. This is a Christian woman. She said, you are the first Nigerian I'm hearing talk like this. Now, what happened that day was that, you know, we're talking about problems in the country, of course. We talked about everything, malaria, all the problems in the country, politics, economics. And I was showing her my own perspective to things, the responsibility that Christians have. You know, I was just chatting and chatting. When we finished, she just said that, look, do you know I have never heard any Nigerian talk like this. All the Nigerians she had heard had been grumblers and complainers. Do you get my point? But I look back, I realize that when I was a house officer, I remember when I first left school, my friends and I blame them more, but I also blame myself, but then their own mentality was fixed in me. I changed my mind after. We talked as if everybody owed us. The day it rained, the boys, they didn't leave their apartments to go to work. I said, boys, are we not going to work? I said, why should they walk through the rain? That if the hospital really needs their services, they should send the ambulance to come and pick them from their homes. And anytime I remember that episode, it still grieves my heart. That I was with them and agreeing, you know, I was like Paul giving consent to the stoning of Stephen. By many experiences, God taught me that, oh boy, if it rains, you don't go to work, I will make sure they sack you. And you will complain about the sack and nothing will happen. You will be permanently sacked so as to teach you a lesson that life doesn't owe you, you owe life. Are you getting my point? You must serve as if you are serving the Lord. It takes time. Look, listen. When you hear people just grumble around anyhow in town, that is why they have not received the correct instruction. You don't. It's not a day you argue somebody into sense. Remember my last experience with the Reverend Father on Cosmo FM. At the point I said, "Why am I arguing with this man here? We obviously are not. That is, our thoughts are not going in the same direction at all. He's facing this side. I'm facing this side." He made a point about the country. I gave an argument. After we talked, someone had to phone and say, why are you arguing there? I thought it was a religious program. We're very, very sorry, sir. Because the man will make a point. I just said, no, I'm sorry, Reverend Father, I don't agree with that. He said, Nigerians are some of the poorest in the world. I said, it's not true. It is not true. He said, we live on less than a dollar a day. I said, Reverend Father, sir, it's not true because we don't spend dollar. I've never spent dollar in this country. I spend naira. So tell me how much naira will I spend in a day. You don't judge me by the amount of dollars we spend in a day. No, it's true. Most of my colleagues and my mates who earn, if you calculate, you know, value for value now, all right, you know, exchange dollars, they earn 4 or 5 times what I earn, can't employ the number of people I can from my salary. They can't live in a house half the size of my own. They can't pay for it where they live. Are you getting my point? I said, so stop harassing me about dollars. Talk about Naira. I buy my food in Naira. I pay my rent in Naira. I pay my phone bills in Naira. So don't tell me about dollars. So your colleagues abroad earn 5 times what you earn. Let them come and live as comfortably as I do. A friend of mine, I told me that his whole house is about the size of my sitting room and my dining. When I had a 5-bedroom house, I had 4 toilets and bathrooms. You can earn 10 times what I earn. Come and afford what I can afford. I said, look, I told you, look, that day we're having a serious argument. At the point, somebody had to call her and cross. Anyway, I'm just in too much. The point I'm trying to make is that it's a process of training over years, all right, that directs your eyes to start seeing some things. Are you getting my point? Remember the example I gave? That Chike was telling me, somebody told him, a banker in Nigeria said, if I can just get an American visa, I will resign my job. He said, what will you do when you get there? The guy said, I don't care. You are a banker in Nigeria of today. You don't care about what you do when you get to America. Something's wrong with your head. I want to use it to give explain something to help you understand what I'm saying. The reason why I'm taking my break in July is because I'm going for a course in MD Anderson Cancer Center in Texas for 31 days. So I went to Abuja to go and attend the visa interview. When we got in there, inside the interview, I was inside. There was one lady, the chief of the interviewing panel. There was one guy beside me who had a good laugh because that lady was just. She spent 1/3 of the time our colleagues were spending and denied almost everybody visa. I'll give one or two. So who will laugh? He said, next applicant, go to booth 9. Me and that guy will laugh. Once we hear booth 9, we'll start laughing because that means somebody has been. Because she doesn't waste time. She doesn't waste time. So the guy said, now God, don't let us go there. I told the guy, do you know what? I want to actually go and see that lady's face. Let me see what she's doing to people like this. Let me call the story short. When he became our turn, I was right in front of him. The other booths were empty, but they were wasting time. So they said, next African, go to booth 9. So I walked up there. Hello, how are you? How old are you? I told him, what do you do? You had a chat. So I didn't, this will make you laugh. He said, you have your pay slip? I said, I don't. I said, you have your bank statement. I said, I do. Is it a salary account? I said, so I gave them to her. I said, I told you, I'm a hospital consultant and university lecturer. She looked at my bank balance. She said, that's low. I said, you asked me whether it was a salary account. I said, it is. You know what it means? I spend the money. I earn from there and I spend it. She looked. I said, yeah. I said, listen, I could have beefed up that thing to impress you. I said, but what's the point? I brought this thing here just to let you know I earn a salary. She saw the point and relaxed. The interesting part was that it didn't turn out to be to be gist. And I said, by the way, I'm not paying for the course. I gave her the papers of the people who are sponsoring the course. So at the end, he said, but all the same, I said, listen. He said, are you not, he said, do you have kids? I said, I do. And people said, take your, I said, look. I said, one of my friends said, take your family photograph. I said, I don't have one. He said, go and take a picture. I said, God forbid, I don't have the time. He said, I have a bank. I said, look, oh boy, I will not get up to go and take. I married 1999 December. I said, as at now, you don't believe I'm married, then go to hell. Not interesting, but when I told the lady, she said that, look, that she doesn't care. That actually she has seen Nigerians abandon their wife and children and go to America. I said, oh, good. I'm so, God, Father, thank you. Thank you that I knew this ahead of time. So at the end of the day, anyway, she now said that, you know, she now said, all right, I should pick up the visa on Tuesday. I said, all right, but I won't be around. Can someone pick up for me? We just did that. And I told her, do you know people were afraid to come here? He said, are you serious? I said, yes. Everyone was afraid to come to your booth. He said, why? I said, the way you just been denying everybody visa and driving them away. She said, no, it's not like that. She has seen that if you're real, that is no problem. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying this. I was very relaxed to go and see the lady. Partly because, as God lived, I didn't care whether she denied me visa or not. And then I told her that, look, as for coming back, you can bet on it. Can I have your address? Let me write you when I get back. She now said she couldn't give me a personal address because of this and this. I said, okay, well, how do I? If that's why I now knew she was the chief. She now just gave me an email address. I said, should I write, attention, NIV chief? I said, oh, you are the chief? She said, yes. I said, no wonder. No wonder you have been, you know, slaughtering everybody with confidence. Now,
Why did I approach that young woman like that? And God is my witness. I told the guy beside me, I said, let me go and see what makes this fellow so tough. And I made up my mind, I wanted to go to her booth. You know, it's after I never realized that. That was rather daring to the average person's eyes. But before I, no, this is how it happened. Before I went in there, I just said, God, ah, Lord, let me just ask you. I've spent money because I flew to Abuja, paid 2 nights in a hotel, paid, you know, hotel fees. And I said, ah, God, this is a lot of money. If you didn't want this thing to work, please, you'll have told me at home. Now we have spent money, so I got to have value for my money. That is one prayer I prayed. So I told the Lord that the only thing that will pay me is, ah, come on, you're talking about almost 40K that I've spent just to get to Abuja and back. Ah. So I said, Lord, that would be a bit bad if I wasted that money. But beyond that, God is my witness. I did not care. That's why what we mean by is not loving your life unto death. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, the lady said something that interested me. She said that, so I asked, okay, so what finally persuaded you? I said, when you saw my bank balance, you wanted to deny me. I said, where she was checking. I said, what finally persuaded you? I said, the letters of the sponsor. She said, no. I said, what is it? He said, well, I just believe you. Oh, good. You know, that is, she had nothing else more like, I just believe that you're real. I said, okay, fine. Part of it, which I was explaining to my wife, was that there was no, hey, please, ma, you know, my whole family, they'll be waiting for this. If we don't get this visa, we are dead. So, no, really, what I told you right now, as God is my will, the things I told her. So your balance is low. I said, that's because I spend the money. I don't keep it there. You asked me that was a salary account, and I told you, yes, it is. That means I collect that money and I spend it. You know, the interesting part, just by the way, one guy came with 4 million naira in his account, and she asked him simply, where do you get the money from? And they didn't give him a visa. My bank balance was bad, really low. Really low. One of the accounts I just cleaned out. They didn't look at it, they shook her head like, my God, this is bad. I said, for goodness, it's a salary account. I spend the money, so what do you want me to do? Now, this is what I'm saying. The attitude, all right, that spirit that she perceived, all right, it came out of years of training. Do you follow my point? You are a witness about how I have talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked that, see, oh God, in fact, I'm getting to my message for today now, maybe from there. That even if I was lying at the beginning, I have said it so much that I now believe it. That, God forbid, but me, beg somebody, then like, whoa, please, sir, if you don't help me, no. But you know, I told you about an aura. We did that on radio, faith and the aura of confidence. Now, you are getting the point I'm making. That faith is not built overnight. It's a constant walk with God. You obey the word of God on small levels. Are you getting me? As you obey it on little levels. I told you, Isaac was not the first person that Abraham killed. He first had to kill Ishmael. He didn't kill Ishmael to that extent, but he drove Ishmael and Hagar out of the house. Ishmael that had lived with him for 13 years. You are getting the point I'm making. Or are you getting the point I'm making here? So the man was used to losing things. No, get my point. You can't obey God until you are ready to lose that thing. I know that Abraham believed that Isaac would get back. But before he got to that level, he had lost many things in his heart. Are you getting my point? The guy, and look, there was a time he lost Ishmael. He went to war, fought at the risk of his life. The God, he said, King of Sodom, take. I gave this example before. One day my wife and I were talking about, there was somebody that we know was going aggressively about something, the work of God supposedly, but was going so with so much force to get the thing done. She said, why can't this guy just relax and just let God do this thing? That was the first day I understood this improperly as I answered my wife. I said, you can't until you are ready to let it collapse if God wouldn't do it. A lot of the so-called stubborn faith is not the real one. Do you understand my point? It's not real yet. Before Jesus received the power to take it up again, first thing he did was to get the power to lay it down. He said that, I lay down my life of myself. No one is taking it away from me. He said, I have power to lay it down. It's after that you discover the power to take it up again. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's how Abraham's faith was built up to that level. What am I trying to explain today? Nobody is born with faith in his heart. None. Great faith is not just discovered suddenly. Great faith is a product of
experience. Are you getting my point? Not just one experience, but experiences with God. A constant walk with God. And God starts it on a basic thing. Two things. One, basic love for God that obeys God in the small things that he has the ability to. God is not stupid. Are you following me? Nobody won't give his life to Christ today. And to, you know, oh God, if I say this, you're making people laugh. A lot of fire brigade steps that people have taken, children in faith. So I just gave up my whole house to God. Listen, please. He said, no, I just left my job, came out of the streets, and started preaching the gospel. Go and check it. One, the guy who came out from his job, started preaching the gospel, was very hungry for years. For many years, he was badly hungry. Then he would testify later that that's how much suffering he suffered for God. You know the truth? Ask him in 10 years' time. He will realize it was not necessary. What am I going to say? A lot of those steps are steps of zeal, not steps of faith. Are you hearing my point? There is a difference between the step of zeal and a step of faith. A step of zeal is usually a copying of the step of faith of somebody that really had faith. Are you getting my point? A man that really had faith, okay, took a step. I remember those days when we were in secondary school. We had teachers who their children would be sick and die. They said, no, in our church, we don't take drugs. Listen, the men who founded those churches did not take drugs and they did not die. Let me say that again. The guys who started it did not take drugs and they did not die. Then somebody hears about it. It takes a step of zeal, not a step of faith. Because faith is something you... Look, I said the man who has seen, he doesn't need to be persuaded. Those guys had seen. So there was nothing Satan could do to prevent them from getting their miracle every time. Nothing. They knew the power of God very well. And then they had some conceptions, whether true or missed, are you getting my point? About medicine, which made them refuse it. You put the two together, Satan couldn't handle them. Then they write a book. Then one little fellow who don't know God, who don't know doctors, who does not know anything, that is a step of the man of faith, he's taking the step of zeal. He's not taking a step of faith because he has not been fully persuaded. He had not reached the point of knowing God to any level. Are you getting my point? That's why people do a lot of things that you know, embarrasses God. There are steps of zeal. And the Bible said it like this. It said, in fact, I like the way NIV says it. It says, zeal without knowledge is good. It's not good. King James said that for a man to be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hastens with his feet runs into error. He said, errs. I'm just saying it simply. Are you getting my point? He said, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. Faith is built. It takes time. What God is asking for, because God is a personal tutor for faith. What he does is, one, two basic things. He said, faith works by love. That is, the foundation of it is love. Love for God, which is only shown by love for human beings. If you are a Christ, if you say you are born again and you don't love Christians, you are lying. Do you get what I'm trying to say? He said, do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Man, those are the foundations for faith. People whose faith only works for them. You know, get me new this, get me that. They are just walking in the foolishness of zeal. They don't have any jack faith. Are you getting my point? Look, listen, let me just give you another hint. Especially the person, if you see a man who was a politician, he now gives his life to Christ. He gets to church and expects to be in front with microphone again. Just know that guy is in error. I don't care what he says, he's lying. He's used to being in the limelight. Are you getting my point? You know, I said this before. In fact, recently I got some pastor, but you see this, and he was explaining some of this again. But you know I said this before. Look, you are a musician in the world, doesn't make you a praise minister. Are you getting my point? I mean, you were in the world, you were jamming big time, you know, you knew how to rock everything.
When you now get to a church, you say, oh, praise God, that brother will be leading praise here. If I'm there, when he has the microphone, I don't go sing again. I go sit down. Why is he singing? Why did you give him a microphone? Because the guy doesn't know anything yet. You should let him sit down. You must never give a novice authority. That is what Paul said clearly. Now, but let me apply what I'm trying to say. The guy doesn't yet have the faith, all right, to carry a congregation to praise God. He doesn't have it yet. If he's jamming, fine. But leading praise and worship, it just shows that there, you guys are not worshiping. There was a church I attended some years ago, and the church was renowned for how good the praise was. So me too, I said, let me go there and experience. And when I entered, the music was very good. But I noticed that with all the hot jamming, I couldn't move my legs. I always wanted to sit down. When I came out, I told somebody, I said, they are not praising God, they are singing. Listen, let me tell you this. One of the guys who would lead, you know, either play the instrument or handle the microphone, this guy, I told my wife after, I said, you see that fellow, he's not born again. I said, you see that fellow, he became a renowned musician. I said, but you see that guy, he's not a Christian. He only goes to church. Later on, when she heard some gist, he said, it's true. My husband said years ago that this guy is not born again. I said, it's obvious. Oh, I don't know, maybe it's spiritual discernment, but I just entered the place. Everybody was feeling very happy. The praise here is good. I said, it's a lie. They are not praising God here. What are you telling me? No. I just said, look, I'll just drop it. People are feeling very happy. They are feeling very happy, sweating it out. I'll just drop it. Just sit down. See what is going on here? I've been to where praise is rising up. Listen, all this, look, instrument is good. Are you getting my point? But when I started going to fellowship, they praise God. This was the only instrument we had. Clapping. We could clap all, look. We could clap all kinds of clap. I remember those when we were in school. There's some brethren, they were gathered in one corner. They were in fact, you can be sure, one or two of them were Urhobo men. Yes. No, you can't clap like an Urhobo man. It's not. They have a word for it. And tell you, Abo, aha, yeah, everybody. Yeah. They will clap until the palms become red. Hey, look, what I'm trying to say is that, see, real praise comes from the heart. It's not the kind of instrument you use outside. But let me sit on my message of faith. The point is that it's a constant walk with God that builds it. God builds it in your life through two things. One, information by his word, number one. And number two, those words do two things. No, let me say, two experiences come from two things. Number one, either to teach you that word, all right, in case you didn't understand it, or two, to prove that word that you have heard. The word either sends you into experiences, or God sends the experiences to teach you the word. But two things God uses to build up your faith, word and experiences. I said it takes time. But the issue is that you must constantly grow. Are you getting my point? Listen, the great thing that you may have heard me talk, just like I said about 7-star hotel just now. You may have heard me talk, and I said that, look, I know that people will do this. And then, you know, it sounds so fantastic that a young boy in Nigeria who is just 26 today, all right, within the next 15 years, he will be commanding a company that's valued at $50 billion or GABA. Are you not stretching it too far? Don't worry. Because, look, no, really, there are people who will make that statement, and God will be angry and cut their neck. But most Christians, God knows that it's lack of experience that's your problem. Don't worry. Just keep on hearing. Are you getting my point? Then as you go on, you will start having personal experiences or other people's experiences. You will start buying books, reading magazines that start showing you how God has created those paths for people in the past. Then a point comes in which you realize that, God can do it again. The next time you hear somebody preach, that listen, that as you are saying it, you jump to your feet. Amen. They say, why is that guy shouting? You see, he has become fully persuaded. And within 15 years in his life, it will indeed happen. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you getting the point I'm making? Don't let those who have taken steps of zeal confuse us as concerning the steps of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? People who took steps of zeal went into problems. Are you getting my point? But it doesn't change the fact that there are steps of faith which a man will take and he will never fail in life. You are getting what I'm trying to say here? my time is really gone. Like I said, I let me try and limit. Although what I wanted to say today, I have not said it at all. When I say at all, I mean literally at all. Because I was supposed to talk about the conversion of Abraham's name to Abraham. So maybe we'll just leave that till next time, because I don't want to keep us for too long. The fact that I came late doesn't mean we shouldn't go home again. You understand? All right, so let me just summarize the things I've emphasized today, which exactly is about the fact that God is a personal tutor of faith, all right? And if anyone is patient with God, he will definitely get to the place of full persuasion, which we have been talking about. There's no hurry in it. Are you getting my point? You don't have to. Of course, you can't help but make mistakes of zeal. You can't. You are not righteous enough to not do that. No. That's why the Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times. That is, you have fallen 3 times, you got 4 to go. All right? The righteous man, falling is not a big deal. In fact, if you never fall, you never were born again, really. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, you didn't love the Lord enough to make a mistake for him. T.D. Jakes said as a young boy, he said those things were foolish, but they did them. As a 17-year-old boy, he would close his eyes and say, God, I'm trusting you, and walk across the road. Cars are speeding past. I said, oh, Father God, you're my protector. I just shut his eyes. You know, if somebody doesn't want to do it, I'll give the person a personal knock on the head. He said, yes, it was foolish, but that was how much he loved God as a young boy. I remember once when we were in school, people were talking about being sustained by faith. I said, my parents are always sending me money. It's not good. So one day, we too should experience this sustaining by faith. It's foolishness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's foolishness. If you're a young boy, a young lady, you are in school, your parents send you money, you should collect it. If they don't send, phone them. Say, what thing they happen? Stop, don't they drive for this side? Yeah? Appear. Are you getting my point? I just felt that, no, this is not allowing your faith. So, you know, years later, I looked back. I said, pure foolishness. Pure what? Foolishness. You don't put yourself in shoes that the Lord has not put you. Who are you trying to impress? Well, what the point is that if you never made any of those mistakes, most likely you never really gave your life to Christ. Yeah, no, really, 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 really. Because, you see, that's just the way it happens, all right? Zeal is part of it, all right? It's just that you have to be careful. Like I said before, Paul spoke, he said, there is righteousness, there is self-control. And based upon these two things, there is the judgment to come. I'm putting my own words now. So self-control is what we need to learn. Why will you control the self if the self does not try to be impulsive? Are you getting my point? All right, the fact that it's been born in God, it will try to do some things that are dangerous. Look, Moses wrongfully killed the Egyptian. But we know that was a zeal for the people of God. If he didn't have that, God probably would not have used him. Now, if I say this, it might surprise you. Because of the kind of person Moses was, if he didn't kill that Egyptian, most likely he would never have been the Moses you know today. It was an error. But he did not have enough information to know it was an error. So if he didn't do it, he was being slack. It's only somebody that has the information that wouldn't have done it. So if he did not do it, then he was being slack. I don't know whether you are getting my point. I'm not excusing errors, per se. But I'm telling you that God allows people to make them. It's crucial. It's crucial because that's how he will even let you know that this is your zeal. You know, must be kept cool. One brother walked up to me once after I finished preaching in Benin. He was so impressed. He came and said, pray for me. He said, now that you have prayed for me, I want you to give me a word from your spirit. Look, I know enough to know that all those things are not necessary. If I have a word in my spirit, I will give it to you. You don't have to tell me to search and bring it out. But I obliged the young man. I did. So I looked at him. I said, take it easy. It's funny. Let me, now your laughter is about to vanish. The guy looked at me. He said, I asked so and so person to do the same thing. He said, those were the exact words he told me. See, you stopped laughing. The guy looked at me like, what? I said, what's the problem? He said, sir, what did you say? I said, take it easy. Relax. He said, I asked so and so person when he came. And those were the same things he told me. I knew. I said, oh boy, you're about to take off on the force of zeal alone. One thing you must learn is what? Self-control. The world will not die because you did not preach. You're a student, but you get to go to class. Souls are perishing. You are taking lectures. Listen. When you have graduated, they will still be perishing. Are you getting my point? That was what Jesus meant when he said, the poor you have with you always. It is time for lectures. Go. Don't say souls are perishing. But do you know the interesting part? If you didn't have this information, are you getting my point? And you never skipped lectures because of souls, you don't have zeal for them. Now you are getting the point I'm trying to make. You are getting it. You are getting it. Look, to stumble 7 times for the Christian, perfectly in the perfect will of God. There are instructions you will never learn until you have fallen. That's why I'm very careful when people want to tell story of how this started, all right? If they have not learned enough, all right? And they don't correct us concerning their own errors, they end up leading a lot of young people astray. I don't know whether you're getting my point, all right? Like, somebody was telling me recently about, I thought I got on some of CDs by Pastor Poju. There's one particular one titled True Christianity. Very powerful message. He was just chatting. True Christian, that's the name of the message. He made some statements. He said that, like, Winner's Chapel as an example, because he knew Bishop very well. Bishop ordained the church when he started, all right? And he used to work with Bishop in Winner's, all right? He knows him very well. He knows people. He made a statement which was very interesting. Now, if you hear Bishop talk now, all right, you won't know that happened. He said when he first started, I think, in Lagos, and the church wasn't growing, that he fasted until one day he coughed and he was vomiting blood. Now, when I heard that, even me, I feared. But, you know, by the time I got into that level of maybe getting concerned about things like that, I had learned enough to know that wasn't necessary. For information, Bishop started Winners at the age of 25. So, I mean, as a 25-year-old boy, he should do a lot of things wrong. What are you talking about? He should. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. He should. So, he does something, he's not perfect today, but then he keeps growing. He keeps growing. Now, he won't fast for anybody, I'm sure. Look, you can be sure that. And, you know, just to balance something out. Can I get into the story in that those cities I mentioned earlier? Casting your cares upon the Lord. In fact, I listened to it before, but I had not noticed that thing in it. He said that, you know, that's where I was taught as a young Christian. I stopped doing it because I realized it never worked. It wasn't out of any, you know, just that I did it and did it and it didn't work. You say that if you want to see the power of God, move powerfully. You know, before the meeting, you will go and fast and pray, and you pray for hours. Look, I tried here and there, and then the thing didn't make any difference. The most powerful messages I've shared in life, the most powerful, many of them, all right, I was told just 5 minutes beforehand, so boy, I beg, now you go preach. I have preached message that congregations wanted to scatter. One day I preached in church. Pastor told me later that 4 people walked up to me and said that, look, after that message, they are quitting what they are doing right now. That message, quench not the spirit. I can tell you sincerely, it was in the morning when I was going to church, maybe while combing my hair. Lord, what do I preach to these people today? I supposed to preach. It was a Christmas weekend. Most people were not around. Which time I go preach? Okay, I'll preach from my First Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, that is next to no preparation. So I've learned it from experience. I read, I study, I pray for kingdom word, I do things. But for each individual meeting, I don't say more than a few lines of prayer. They tell me that Ora Roberts didn't used to talk to people for 10 hours. That's his personal issue. It doesn't concern me at all. I can chat with you right now before I mount the stage. That's me. And you can't tell me I'm not anointed. You can't. Are you getting me? People have had different experiences. So Kenegan said that then, there was this place he went, and people said, if you can have the revival in this church, you will raise Lazarus from the dead. So he wanted to do it. He said he will pray and pray and pray and fast and fast and fast and fast. He will go and preach. The message will be as dry. The home sermon will be boring. Hi! He will go back home, pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Fast, 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 fast. After doing for some time, he remembered casting all your cares upon the Lord. He said, "Dear Lord, concerning this meeting, I'm not doing anything again. I won't pray one line more than my regular prayer. I won't prepare specially more than my regular studies. If you like, move. If you like. Next time he came up, the Spirit of God was mightily present. That was when revival started. Are you getting my point? All the time was... Well, I'm trying to bring out something here. From experience, personal one, other people, I've learned that all those things are not necessary. So some people say, look, those are the ones we started, we were doing like this, it doesn't mean it's the right way. You have not yet had the faith. Pastor Paul said something once, that he went to Pastor Paul Adefarasin of House on the Rock. Now, I've heard him preach, this is just by the way, those are the ones that used to go to Lagos. Pastor Paul will say something just in my mind. I said, okay, relax. You go born again as an old man, so you never learn these things. You will learn it later. I just used to tell myself, relax. Of course, you know, because I'm a small boy, I can't say people think you don't know what you're saying. He's a big man. Well, it doesn't matter. Before he preaches, he will pray maybe for like 5 hours nonstop. You don't blame him. He learned from Duncan Williams. Don't count on this type that will pray for 40 days nonstop. If you hear the words Pastor Paul Adifra uses to pray, you will know that this thing is like Pastor Chris Okoti preaching. Deep words, you know what I'm saying? Then he now met T.D. Jakes. So when they went to the U.S., he was riding around with T.D. Jakes. So he would not, there was service in the evening. And, you know, maybe like an hour before service, we were still check, still eating in the restaurant. And then they entered the guy's limo. TJ used a stretch limo. I mean, his size, he needs a stretch limo. I drove down to church. The man was, he was waiting for the man of God to say, okay, everybody, excuse me. I need to go and prepare for service. No, TJ just kept on doing like nothing happened. So at the point in time, he said, Ogasa, please, if I were the one going for this service tonight, I need like 4 hours to pray before the service. He just laughed. He said, no, don't worry, you're charismatic, obviously. You're obviously charismatic. Just watch. That's what he took. Just watch. They eventually drove down to service, a few minutes before service started. T.D. just grabbed the microphone. And no, you will know when anointing falls on somebody. When he shared that testimony, he said, my mind, I smiled. I said, oh, God, when you used to say that you needed to pray for 7 hours, I used to say, one day you will learn out that it doesn't work like this. Jesus could be, you could wake him up from his slumber and say, look at it. He just, shh. He just do shh. And the breeze will vamoose. But you understand what I'm going to say here? That is, as a young person, in your zeal, okay, you may take steps that are not exactly steps of faith. But if you don't take them, it's probably a sign that you really have no zeal for God. Are you getting me? But most importantly, of course, you won't download the things of God with, inaccurate zeal. You won't. But God looks at it as a sign that this guy is serious. It's love for God as you understand it. It's love for the word of God as you understand it. Then God starts, okay, now good. Oh boy, take pride away and I'll teach you anything. No, remember, take pride away. I will display publicly that what you did last week is wrong. I hope you don't mind. Say, no, sir. Fine. Are you getting my point? I would display before everybody that your proposal for marriage was, I didn't speak to you. You drank the night before. He said, yes, sir. He said, hey, you've understood that thing? Then that's how faith is now built. It's a constant walk with God. I hope you get that point. All right, let me close here. But next week, I will now get back to what I wanted to say about the mouth of Zacharias and then the change of name of Abraham. I hope you've learned something. Please, I hope I'm forgiven for coming late. If you've been blessed today, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's just begin to give God thanks again.